Messiah, Hussein Obama, Messiah no more. In 5 or 6 or 3 or some fucking number of days, I don't care. All right, boys and girls. Today, you need to be wearing your big girl panties, because we're going to talk about philosophy. I'm going to explain to you motherfuckers the wonders and the joy of anarchy. We're also going to run with the lions. I have an email from a listener. We're going to read the email, and we're going to answer the questions, because somebody asked an intelligent fucking question. Yes, I would love to get the welfare recipients off of my back. Mountains don't come to you, you have to go to them. That's a fucking fact. Well, people jeer because they have no fucking life. What are you going to do about that? Well, you're going to run with the lions. Lose like a man. You should try that sometime. Of course, get good enough at being a man, you don't fucking lose. Just say no to statism, because statism is a lot like $40 blow. So you get some $40 blow and you get high and you think, oh man, this is really sweet. Right, statism is like that. You get this free shit from the government and you're feeling all good because you're too stupid to know there's no such thing as free. Right, all that free shit you get from the government, somebody's fucking paying for that. It's probably me. That's why I hate you. You're listening to the grooves of Tony Carey, a man who should be more known and isn't. This is his song, Run with the Lions. You can actually get this entire album free on the interwebs from Tony Carey's website. Tony Carey is also the guy who masterminded two of the greatest albums ever, Pink World and Planet P Project. Both of which, if you go to the website under the little music tab, I have links to YouTube videos that have those complete albums on them. Alright, we're running with the lions now. Greetings, I am the Great One himself, founder, Central Appearance Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, podcasting for 12 years, all that other good stuff. You can send us email, God, it's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, in the control room, on the other side of the glass, seen only by me and not heard by anybody. Oh, All right, well, I listen to her sometimes, is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 17th of January in the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama, 2017, soon to be transitioning to the year of our God Emperor, Donald Trump. All right, email. I have an email here from a person who will not be named because I don't name people unless you tell me you can say your name because I don't want to associate people with me because I, of course, am racist, sexist, and homophobic because I disagree with people who have black skin and vaginas, which makes me a terrible, hateful person who should be exterminated. Because, of course, people with black skin and vaginas, they're all about tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism, which is why they believe that anyone who disagrees with them should be killed. Or maybe, you know, just taped up, thrown in a corner, and tortured while you live stream it on YouTube. Because that's what diversity and tolerance looks like if you're a fucking piece of shit statist. All right, here we go. Here's the email. I'm going to read through this. And then we're going to spend the podcast talking about the things that this gentleman brings up. Oh, great one. You have a great podcast. Got turned on to you when you subbed for Aaron Cleary. From one anarcho-capitalist to another, I've got a question that's been thrown at me that I really couldn't answer. How could an anarcho-capitalist society survive if a non-anarcho-capitalist society decided to try to take over? Now, there's no argument that without the state, we would never reach the level of weaponry that exists now. In a truly free market that adheres to the ZAP, that's the zero aggression principle for those of you who are not anarchist, there would be no need for incredibly expensive aircraft carriers, nukes, etc. However, I'm losing my place. However, let's say the economic collapse happens and mainly only affects the USA for whatever reason, and we get anarchapitalized. And a country like China or Russia decides to take the opportunity to fuck our shit up. It would obviously then create a temporary market demand for serious military tech to make a comeback. However, it would be intellectually dishonest for me to say that we could just suddenly have an array of battleships, jets, and nukes in that time frame, so the question just stumps me entirely. To say that China slash Russia succeeds with their stronger military would say that they won the natural selection game, therefore fucking anarcho-capitalism entirely. What are your thoughts? Sorry for the length, I'm from the Medicaid generation, and my Obamacare prescribed me too much Adderall. Oh, it's not too long, that's what she said. And all right, these are good questions. And this ties in to things I have talked about before in relationship to seasteading. A while back, I did a podcast about seasteading, caught a little bit of flack on that because I was not praising seasteading as the end-all be-all to freedom. I was pointing out that seasteading is a temporary solution, but not a permanent solution. So in theory, I'm going to be able to get that in here and I'm going to talk about the permanent solution. I'm going to be able to talk about some other stuff. And I'm going to be able to do that while I am drinking a Mango King from Funkworks Brewery. All right. Let's look at our theoretical situation. United States collapses. Anarchapitalism arises. Some other state wants to come in and take over. So if you're going to attack another geographic region, so let's just use Russia. Because of course the Russians hacked the election. That's the only way that Donald Trump won. Because all the really smart people like Garrison Keillor, of course, voted for Hillary Clinton because vagina. We're not talking about that. Don't digress. Shh, calm, don't deep breath. Okay. Let's say that Russia wants to, all right, the first thing, if the United States degenerates into anarchapitalism, all the aircraft carriers and the airplanes and the missiles, they're still here. They're not going to magically vanish. Now, the problem is who and how and where will they be controlled? You know, who is going to take possession? And of course, a big problem also that you don't really hear about, especially with things like military aircraft, is that they're so difficult to maintain, right? The parts are delicate and shit breaks down all the fucking time. And maybe, you know, maybe it's getting better. But I know when I was in the military, you know, the older helicopters were the ones that were reliable. The newer helicopters that had more and more electronics and computer shit, shit went wrong with them more and more and more. So if the United States turns into ANCAP dice, the military hardware is still going to be there. Now there's the whole question of who, you know, who's going to be able to control an aircraft carrier. By control, I mean, is anybody going to want to sail around on the aircraft carrier and do aircraft carrier things, or is it just going to sit there and rust? Right? Is anybody going to want to man the missile silos, or will the missiles just sit there and rust? And that's a whole, that could probably be a whole discussion unto itself. And most of it, of course, would be just me just theorizing out my fucking ass. Because right offhand, I'm really not sure what would happen to those things if ANCAPidice took place. So let's pretend that they are gone. Now, what the writer says here about, so you have this ANCAPidice and the Russians come and invade it. He's absolutely correct. There's not going to be, oh, we're all going to jump together and reopen the factories and churn out an aircraft carrier. Because remember, there's more to having an aircraft carrier than just having a fucking aircraft carrier. You also have to have people who know how to use it. You also have to have those people organized in a way that makes effective use of that, which is what the military did back before they started letting women in and doing affirmative action and talking about feels and everything, right? You had to be qualified to do stuff, and everyone in the aircraft did their job, and you had a chain of command, and you were directed, and there was a purpose, and shit happened. To think that the aircraft carrier and the people who manned the aircraft carrier, yes, that was sexist, and the directive and the chain of command and the structure, you know, no, he's right. All of this stuff is not going to be created in time to save ANCAPidice from being invaded by the Russians. Why? We're just going to jump right into this because this is the pivotal point. Why does one nation state country invade another nation state or country? Typically, it's done for resources. So if Russia is going to invade ANCAPidice, well, what's the point of Russia invading ANCAPidice? What can they possibly fucking gain from invading ANCAPidice? Well, they would want resources. Thus, wanting the resources sort of excludes just nuking the fuck out of ANCAPidice. If you want the resources, you have to come in to ANCAPidice and you have to control the resources, right? Sort of like the Europeans came over to North America. They came in. They didn't necessarily, well, they did make war. They did militarily invade. They killed a lot of people, but they had to come over here and they had to take control of the resources. If the Russians are going to do this, that means, to an extent at least, controlling the indigenous population of ANCAPidice. Now, do we have any examples? So you have to send in ground troops. This is where we're going with this. Ground troops have to go in. You have to have the boots on the ground, as they like to say. Now, do we have any examples that we can think of militarily advanced nation states invading places that do not have equally advanced militaries and statist hierarchies? Well, let's see. We had Roman Empire trying to invade northern England, where they eventually just gave up and built Hadrian's Wall. We had the British fighting against the Zulus, where the most advanced military on the planet Earth at that time, it got their asses whipped by a bunch of mostly naked black guys with pointed sticks. And of course, in more modern times, which we can look at, we have Afghanistan. How many years did the Soviet Union spend trying to invade and take over Afghanistan? So many years that the United States of America's government, headed by Bush and followed by Hussein Obama, the Messiah, he who brought peace and prosperity and change, decided, hey, let's try having a war in Afghanistan, because that worked so fucking well for the Soviet Union. When we talk about the concept of Russia invading and Capitice, again, I'm just using Russia, not picking on Russia specifically, just that's who I'm going to use here. Why is Russia going to invade and Capitice? What can they gain from this? Think about how small Afghanistan is. The Soviet Union and the United States have both poured all kinds of military technology into Afghanistan. People in Afghanistan still pretty much, for the most part, do whatever the fuck they want to do. Now, think about the area as large as the United States. Now, that is Ancapadice. Okay, the Russians show up. Great. Let's say they show up at Washington, D.C., and they get out of their fucking airplanes and their helicopters, and they walk up to the White House. It's still there. Maybe it's been turned into a hotel by somebody. You know, maybe all the windows are broken out, whatever. And they fucking put the Russian flag on it. We're here. Nobody else in Ancapadice gives a shit. Oh, you're here. Okay, so the Russians could send enough people over that they could take over New York City. They could surround New York City. They could put a Russian soldier on every corner. You know, they could demand that you had to have your papers. They could kill off all the firstborn children. They could take away everybody's guns. They could do all kinds of stuff. That's great. They have New York City. Who gives a shit? Hey, Russia, you can have New York City right now as far as I care. Fucking take Los Angeles as well. Who cares? If the entire area, which is currently the United States of America, becomes Ancapadice, nobody can come in and quote-unquote invade it, because there's nothing to invade. Okay, so the Russians, they can come over and they have some tanks, and their tanks are driving down the road. Oh wait, there won't be any more roads, because when the government vanishes, all the roads will instantly vanish too, because without the government, who would build the roads? Okay, So the Russians come over and they have some tanks and they're driving their tanks down the fucking road. Well, great. Sweet. You own that part of the road. Who gives a fuck? There are these individual people out there, but the problem is, and it depends where you go. Now, you like go to Yankee Land or, you know, Portland or California or something like that. You know, okay, you can drive in there with the tank and you can tell some people, hey, we're here to tell you what to do. And a lot of, if there's any statist left alive in Ancapadice, I mean, they'll be fine with that. But remember, this is Ancapadice, okay? In Ancapadice, you have two choices, defend yourself or die. Because there are no police to protect the criminals. I mean, protect you, because we know police always protect innocent people. That's why there's never any crime, and innocent people never get murdered or raped or, I don't know, scalped on Facebook live streams, because the police are protecting them. Okay, in Ancapadice, most people are going to have guns. Yes, the Soviets will have tanks. I'm sorry, they're not Soviets anymore, they're Russians. The Russians will have tanks. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Ancapadice, formerly known as the United States, is a really big place. When you invade another country, so for example, when Nazi Germany invaded France, okay, there was an infrastructure, a government, a state infrastructure. There were French, there was a government. So the Nazis come in, they go to the government and they say, this is what you're going to do. And this government enforces it. And that swings on down, right? The Nazis did not replace every single person in the French government with a German person. The Nazis just came in, they told whoever was in charge of France, you will pass these laws, you will say this, you will say, and then you will have your people enforce it. We'll be enforcing it too, obviously, but a large part of enforcing fell upon the existing French government. Okay, so you invade Ancapadice. I mean, so what? There's no government for you to control, and thus control the population. If you want to invade Ancapadice and take control of it, you have to not just go in with tanks and machine guns. You have to go in and actually set up a government. Now, this is a lot of fucking work. And this is going to cost a lot of fucking money. And what are you going to get out of it? Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, this kind of makes sense, but you're making an assumption here, and I'm making a lot of assumptions, and that's great. In a sense, not great that I'm making assumptions, but if you thought of that, that's great that you were thinking that way. You're saying, well, great one. That makes sense if a government behaves rationally. Okay, from a rational perspective, a government would look at invading Ancapadice and say, what's the fucking point? Why go in and invade to get access to resources? I mean, what kind of resources do you fucking want from Ancapadice? Let's say that you want from Ancapadice, you just want money in whatever form money takes. Maybe because it's Ancapadice, maybe you want gold or something like that. Well, you just sell them stuff. Why invade Ancapadice if you can just sell things to Ancapadice and get money from them? Or let's say you want some resources that are in Ancapadice. Let's say you want, again, gold. You want some gold. Okay, you can buy the gold from them. The people in Ancapadice will go and mine the gold and sell it to you. Maybe they'll even refine it and sell it to you. Maybe the people in Ancapadice will even take the gold, turn it into jewelry, and sell that to you. Why would you not just buy the gold from people in Ancapadice? Because that's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than invading their country to take some fucking, well, it's not a country. It's a geographical region. Then invading the geographical region to take some fucking gold. Now it's Ancapidice. Let's say there's some gold. It's Ancapidice. Let's say the Russians want some gold. Well, you get in some airplanes, you fly to Ancapidice, you get out. We have to shoot anybody. You go prospecting. You're like, where might be some gold? You go and you find some gold. If nobody else is already mining it, if nobody has homesteaded that gold, well, then you just start digging it out of the fucking ground. You don't need to shoot people. It's Ancapidice. There is no government that owns the land. You don't need permission to mine the gold. As long as nobody else is already there, it's kind of up for grabs. It's Ancapidice. This is a very radical way of thinking. I know some of you are like, oh, this can't make sense. No, it does make sense. But you're saying, great one, governments are not rational. Specifically, people in governments are not rational. Look at Donald Trump. Look at Hussein Obama. Look at Bush. Look at Putin. Right? Look at Pol Pot. Look at Adolf Hitler. Look at Napoleon. Look at Caesar. Look at all, right? And you are correct. People running governments are not going to behave rationally. So despite the fact that invading Ancapidice is completely fucking stupid from any kind of rational perspective, because anything you want from Ancapidice, you can buy from them at a cost cheaper than invading, or you can sell to them to just get their money, or you can go to Ancapidice and simply acquire it yourself. There are those irrational people who might think invading Ancapidice is a great idea. And we will go back and backtrack to more or less where I started. Afghanistan. Russia or China has the power to nuke Ancapidice out of existence. That could happen. But what would they gain from it? Again, if we're going completely irrational, okay, so you've got this completely irrational, mindless, sociopathic world leader, right? Not world leader, country leader of China or Russia. And they just say, hey, I'm going to nuke Ancapidice. Okay, you're right. There's not a fucking thing we can do about that. We get Ancapidice gets nuked. Done. The only other option you really have if you want to control Ancapidice. Now, you can destroy it, which we can't stop them from nuking it and destroying it. But if they want to come in and control it, you have Afghanistan. Only, I mean, my God, how much larger? I don't know right offhand. What is the square mileage of Afghanistan versus the square mileage of the United States? And in some places, the United States, like I said, New York City, Los Angeles, they might just, you know, and we're assuming that people haven't changed too much in Ancapidice, which would actually not be true. But you'd go, there would be places in Ancapidice where people might still be gun control wackos and shit, and they would welcome their Russian invaders because they would want free healthcare and free birth control and affirmative action and all this other shit. But you get down to places like the evil Southland, right? Where all them racist fucking rednecks live. I don't care how many fucking tanks you have. At some point, you have to get out of that tank. And at that point, country boy with a deer rifle is going to blow your fucking head off. And you think country boys down in them evil Southlands where everybody is racist? Hell, even the black people are racist down in the South. That's how racist they are. Oh, you think we, I'm from Texas, let me remind you. You think those of us from the South don't know how to make explosives? You think we don't know how to make booby traps? It's just, no matter how insane a leader is, they would have to dump so many resources. And remember, another difference here. So you're Nazi Germany. You're invading another country. So all you have to do is get in and you cut off some key supply lines, and you can have entire cities surrendering to you if you just cut off their food supply. And you take over and you get a government to surrender to you. And so when the government surrenders, well, it's like everybody in the country is now surrendered because everybody is governed by that government. So all you have to do is get one cocksucker in the government to say, "I surrender." And the entire population of the country rolls over and submits to you. When you invade Ancapadice, for one thing, there aren't a lot of supply lines to cut off. Again, maybe New York City, but out in Ancapadice, when Ancapadice happens, first of all, the population will go down and people will spread out more because they'll be growing their own food. So if major metropolitan centers like New York, Los Angeles, Houston, if those continue to exist close to the way they do right now, they would probably need to import food. But the rest of the geographic region known as Ancapadice, food is all going to be grown locally. Now, there still may be food traveling around, of course, because there will be a market for that. But to a great extent, because the population has gone down and because you now have more space available, more food will be produced locally. So cutting off supply lines will not be impossible, but it will be more difficult and it will be less effective. You're not going to get people in Ancapadice to buckle under by just putting up some roadblocks and not letting food trucks through anymore. And you're not going to have a centralized government where you can just get the one person in the centralized government to say, "Okay, I surrender," and everybody else in Ancapadice just rolls with it. You have to go out, Russia. Russia has to come into Ancapadice and physically go to every place where there's a human being and get that human being to physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually submit to their invasion. Good fucking luck. Now, the interesting thing that he brings up in his email here is this. To say that China/Russia succeeds with their stronger military would say that they won the natural selection game, thereby fucking anarcho-capitalism entirely. So now that was an interesting thought, because I had to ponder on that for a while. It's like, okay, so natural selection, they came in. They were more powerful, they were stronger, they won. Thus, natural selection, they were better, they are superior. I had to mull all of this over. Because, of course, no anarcho-capitalist wants to admit that statism is superior, right? So I'm like, all right, there's a way out of this. I got to figure out what it is. And it is a really good question. It's a great point. It's something I had not previously thought of. Okay. Does Ancapadice being destroyed by statism mean that statism is superior to Ancapadice? I'm going to say it does not necessarily mean that. I have often said in the past that might does not make right. There's people who say might makes right. No. Might does not make right. Might, however, does make reality. Let's say that I go out and I rape a woman. I used force against her and I have raped her. Does that mean that she's been raped? Well, yes, it absolutely does. My might has made reality. The reality is she has been raped. Does me raping her mean that me raping her is right in a moral, ethical, blah, 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 universally preferable behavior way of looking at right and wrong? Well, no, it doesn't. Does me being strong enough to rape her make me superior to her? Does it mean that I am the winner in the game of natural selection? What is the objective of natural selection? You might think, hell, I might think, that the objective of natural selection is to arrive at the strongest. Right, who survives natural selection? Well, the strongest lion. But wait a minute. What if we look at the objective of natural selection as being to arrive at that which is, well, I'm going to use the word we've been using, superior. Okay, so natural selection aims for arrival at that which is superior. I'm good with that. This is philosophy. What is it that we have to do in philosophy? Anybody, what do we have to do in philosophy? No, not that. What do we have to do in philosophy? No. What do we, you? Okay, yes, that's true. In philosophy, we do need to look at pictures of cute volleyball girls. That's true. But I'm thinking about something else. Okay. You in the back. It's not saying what. And exactly. That's it right there. Okay. In philosophy, we must define our words and our terminology. When I say that natural selection is aiming at arriving at that which is superior, because I'm the one talking, must define what I mean by superior. Superior does not necessarily, exclusively, simply mean that which is the most powerful. I would argue, I am arguing, this is the argument I'm putting forth, superior means that which is the best adapted and the best capable of achieving its greatest potential. Now, this brings us back to one of the concepts of anarcho-capitalism that the stupid people are too stupid to understand, hence the reason they're stupid. This argument that in Ancapadice, everybody's going to run down the streets, which won't exist anymore because with no government, there's no roads, but we're all going to run down the streets and just randomly kill other people and rape other people. Well, this doesn't really make any sense. In Ancapadice, you would want to live a free and a happy and fulfilled and creative and enjoyable life. And part of living a good life would be to be surrounded by other people that you like and that you enjoy. So this whole thing about how Ancapadice is going to be gears towards everyone killing each other. No. Ancapadice gears towards everyone getting along. superiority is not measured in your ability to kill other people. Superiority for humans is measured by your ability to, and I hate to use this word because it's been co-opted by the social justice warriors, your ability to coexist with other people. Superiority is measured by your ability to create value for other people in exchange for value, whether that's financial value, you do work for them, they give you money. Whether it's social value, you have a conversation with them, you say intelligent things, they enjoy talking to you, they talk to you in return, they say intelligent things, you learn from each other. Superiority for human beings, individual human beings, is the ability to coexist with other people while fulfilling the desires you have for your own life, not hindering other people's desires. So now, if I, as an individual, go forth and start killing people and oppressing people and raping people, I'm creating enemies for myself, I'm spending time that I could be creating things such as podcasting, writing a book, taking photographs, painting a landscape, writing poetry, right? I could be doing those sort of creative things, and instead I'm taking that time, effort, and energy, and I am channeling it into the destruction of other people. People who would provide an audience for me, for my creative works, people who might buy my book, read my poetry, people that would have discussions with me and talk to me, and people that would do work for me and I would pay them, and I would do work for them and they would pay me. I am not, by raping and killing and pillaging, moving myself towards an optimal existence. I am moving myself away from an optimal existence. Thus, that is not superior. Superiority is coexisting with other people. Natural selection aims for superiority. Political, social, economic systems. Okay? Statism versus ancapitalism. Between statism and ancapitalism, which of those two helps people move towards individual superiority? Ancapitalism does. Statism does not. Statism has given us gulags, concentration camps, so forth and so on. Flying robots that kill people. All of that has come from statism. Statism is moving away from allowing humans to be superior. Thus, statism as a system for humans to exist within is inferior to anarcho-capitalism. So statism can very well come in and destroy ancapitalism. That does not make statism superior according to natural selection. That merely makes statism more powerful. More powerful is not the same as superior. Here's an analogy. And obviously, I'm not going to get, because I'm looking, we are at, probably not going to get to seasteading or the thing beyond that great, so I'm going to fucking talk more about this. It's okay, though. This is a good discussion. Let's do an analogy. Let's say that I live back in the evil days of slavery in the evil Southland, where even the black people are racist, because everybody in the South is racist. So I own a plantation, and I have 200 slaves. and I'm right there at the Mason-Dixon line, and right across it, there's this little town of people that they're against slavery and they don't have slaves, and their town is diverse and tolerant and multicultural, and they have black people and brown people and a few white people, but none of the white men are heterosexual. Like, they have a bunch of homosexuals, and they have trannies, and they have people who identify as fey, and then they have those gender fluid people, right? So this is rainbow. It's a rainbow. Okay. And one day I get all my slaves together and we all get pointed sticks because, you know, the rainbow town, they don't have guns or anything because they're in favor of gun control. And we go over there and we take over their town and we kill half of them. And the other half, I make them my slaves. Okay. Has slavery won natural selection? Is slavery superior? Is slavery better? Just because one system can physically overpower another, that's not natural selection. That's just aggression. Cancer. Cancer cells can kill a human. Just as Russia could invade Ancapidice and take over, cancer cells can arise in your body, take over, and kill you. From a biological perspective, does that mean cancer is superior to the human? Now, you might say yes, because the cancer is out of control and the cancer is powerful and the cancer destroys. But once the human dies, the cancer also dies, right? It's the parasite killing the host. A parasite that kills the host isn't superior, according to natural selection, according to biology, to the host if the parasite dies when the host dies. Statism is superior to anarcho-capitalism in a multitude of ways. Statism is superior at killing innocent people. Statism is superior at creating weapons. Statism is superior at concentration camps. There are many ways in which statism is superior and more powerful than anarcho-capitalism in its ability to come along and force people to do things they don't want to do. But when we look at natural selection, and we look at natural selection aiming for a very specific kind of superiority, which is not simply a superiority of imposing force, but for humans, a superiority of coexisting and creating. Now, and of course, all of it, again, we're in philosophy, so you have to look at what do you think the purpose of being alive is? What is the purpose of a human being being here? And there are some people who say, well, the purpose of humans is to convert more humans into believing in God. Yeah, and so again, this is an argument that has to be had, and each person who's going to come at this has to put forth an explanation of what they think makes a superior human. Some people are going to say, well, a superior human serves society as a greater whole, right? And these are your utilitarians. So I get unitarian and utilitarian. I want to mix those words up. These are your utilitarians. These are your communists, right? These are the socialists. These are the collectivists. That, well, the society is what matters and everybody needs to do what they need to do for the good of society. Those people, if they're in Ancapidice, those people would rush to the Russian invaders, and embrace them, because they want something greater than them in the form of a state to tell them right from wrong, good from bad, to give them a purpose. For the Ancapadicer, for the anarcho-capitalist, for the normal person, we would define superiority as being able to create the things we wish to create in the world, and to enjoy being alive, and to spend our time with people that we care about and that we love. So to say that China / Russia succeeds with their stronger military would say they won the natural selection game. No, they did not win the natural selection game, because the statist society that invades Ancapadice is not creating an environment in which individual humans can achieve their greatest degree of creation and freedom. I'm pulling this out of my ass, obviously. You know, they're not creating an environment in which each person can be the very best person they can be, in which each person can experience freedom and the ability to create an exchange and engage with other free people. So yes, if China or Russia invaded Ancapadice, they would win the game of invasion. They would win the game of using force. They would win at initiating aggression against other people. But they would not win the natural selection game. It would be like cancer arising in your body. The cancer does not win at natural selection. And ultimately, this takes us to my argument against seasteading as a long-term solution. Because eventually, at some point, a seastead Ancapadice will become enough of a threat to statism that it would be invaded. Because Ancapadice and statism cannot coexist with each other long-term. I'm always right, and I didn't talk about seasteading, so maybe I'll do that next time. We'll see.